Hi, and welcome to the second episode of the Data Source Rex podcast. I'm your host, David Murphy, and today we've got a special guest, Kevin Flerledge, who's an amazing contributor to the Tableau public community. And welcome. And can you tell us a little bit about yourself, Kevin, before we start?
Hey, David, thank you for having me. Yeah, my name's Kevin Flerledge. I've been using Tableau for about 12 months now, and actually work for, I'm the twin brother of Ken Flerledge, who is a Tableau Zen Master, and then actually work for Jeff Schaefer, who also kind of a legendary guy in the Tableau community. So yeah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Awesome. No, thanks. And it's 1 year. That's amazing. So we're just going to have a look at your Tableau public gallery. And I'm so impressed of like how many things you've made in the space of a year, and like the skill and the creativity, but also the focus on telling a narrative with each piece is astounding. But I'm just kind of curious before we kick on, like what drove you for this? Like what did you already have a design background? Like what's given you this edge to make amazing stuff?
First off, I appreciate it. No, not really. I mean, as a kid, I loved to draw. And I remember when I first started, or even started considering using Tableau, Ken, my brother, had been using it for a couple of years. And he had said something that really stuck in my mind. He said, it's the closest thing that I remember to being sitting there drawing as kids. So you just sit there and draw for hours. And he said it's the closest thing. So it's really it was a cool combination of data and drawing and storytelling. And so I mean, I guess maybe that's a touch of it that helped with the design skills. But I mean, and I was in analytics. That's what I did for a living. But it was more the grind it out in Excel type
right,
stuff.
Yeah. So I feel you.
Yeah, but definitely had a nice little kickstart having Ken help me through some of the learning to get started. So yeah,
love it. Thank you. I'm just scrolling through the gallery now. So I highly recommend everyone to go check this out. All the links will be in the description below, but they're also present on the screen too. So yeah, go check it out. This is amazing in your first year. I can't wait to see what else you do. I guess today's one, we're just going to focus on one. And it's going to be the, hang on. Here we go. So it's going to be your drunk driving viz, which I found really interesting. Just, I guess the way it told the story, there's some clever design elements we'll get to. And there's a lot of information, but it's all clear and you know, all builds upon itself, which I really love. So I guess what we're going to do now is I'm going to ask you a few questions about the viz, get to understand it better. Hopefully other people can learn from this and get inspired. So does that sound good?
That sounds great. Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Okay. So I guess the first one is, what is the inspiration for this viz around the topic and what the data points you talk to?
Yeah. So, in 2004, a friend of my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, but, friend of mine and hers had pulled over on a bridge. So a bridge called the Brent Spence Bridge leads from Kentucky to Ohio. He pulled over to help somebody who had broken down on that bridge. And that bridge doesn't have a lot of room on the curbs, you know, on the side. And so he was, you know, in the engine trying to help this person along. And a drunk driver came, hit the car that was parked there, pinned him against the bridge. He ended up passing away that evening. That driver was drunk and had multiple DUIs in the past. In Kentucky, we call them DUIs, driving under the influence. I know that's referred to as other things across the world. But he had multiple arrests, and like I said, he ended up dying. He was 24 years old. Really, really good guy, law student. Very smart guy. It was really, really sad. It's anytime, obviously sad to lose somebody that's 24 years old, but just the way it happened. And that was the inspiration. It's a common thing. It feels like people do it all the time and it's just almost frustrating. So that was certainly the inspiration. I wanted to have something that, you know, it's really fantastic to be able to create these visualizations. I find them a lot of fun. But when, if you can make some sort of difference with the work that you're doing on the side, you know, yeah, why not? So if this helped anybody, one person, that's really the goal.
Wow, that's really admirable. Really sorry to hear that story. That's such a tragic waste. That's been tragedy. Like you said, it's kind of good you've taken something good out of it still, or just trying to, even if you can affect one person, that's going to be a huge thing. So that's really admirable. And I hope it looks like this is set up to do that if it hasn't already. So, wow. Thank you for sharing that.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. So, okay, cool. So that's covered that one. And yeah, it's definitely a topic which affects everyone, like around the world. So and even just focusing on one country, it's still bringing out the common themes throughout. So really powerful. So I guess moving on, and I'm going to explore whilst you talk, just so people can see how it all works. How did you go about collecting the data? Because there's quite a few interesting points, and I'd love to know your process.
That was actually pretty tricky. It was lots of Google searches, as many of us are going to do. Surprisingly, there was a lot less data available than I would thought on such a topic. So a lot of it was spent just collecting statistics, a lot from the organization MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, which is one of the most popular anti-drunk driving groups here in the United States. So a lot of it was just based on statistics. And if you look at that viz, you'll see a lot of really simple, two out of three people will be involved in a drunk driving accident in their life. Mm-hmm. Those types of statistics. I did find some data regarding deaths and some survey data that talked about people who admitted driving drunk in the past, I think 30 days. So, but most of it was just Google searches, throwing in Excel and connecting those data sources in Tableau.
Wow, that's great diligence. And I guess a lot of people don't realize often good data visits take a bit of research, the data collection phase. They can look beautiful, but if they don't have the data driving them. So I really love that you've put the effort and interest into that side of things too.
And that was probably, I don't recall right offhand, but it's probably 8 to 10, somewhere around there, different data sources. And it may have been just a website that had one particular statistic that I used. But it's a lot of research gone into that.
It's amazing. And I also love best practice. You haven't cluttered the viz with all the sources, but you do have used the hover text or viz and tooltip. It's a tooltip, to show all the sources, which is great because, you can't just pull out stats and not cite them. I think my previous guest, Kasia, did that too with her garbage in the ocean viz. So, it's really good to back up what you see or what you've researched with actual citations. So that's great. And so I just noticed a little Easter egg, the glasses. I didn't notice this before. I'm just going to click on them because I noticed there's some fuzzy text. It's just loading again. Oh, wow. Sorry, I didn't realize this. Wow. So this is awesome Easter egg. I'm going off topic now, but I didn't realize you asked questions. This is amazing. So there's like an Easter egg and a hidden narrative or a narrative which makes it even more engaging. Wow. Okay. I am going to so just if I'm reading this right, the viz gets blurrier and blurrier. Is that correct? As we click. Crikey, that's okay. I'm gonna let that's so blurry. Wow.
And that's based on actual data too. I mean, it's not perfect, but I found a couple of different websites that attempted to replicate what your vision, how your vision becomes blurry after drinking, and everybody's different. You would be different than I, and men versus women. But generally, there's a lot of blurriness once you have X number of drinks, and it's obviously, like I said, it's different for everybody. But one of the things they mentioned is it almost seems ridiculous when you look through it. But a lot of people, while they're drinking, don't realize that their vision becomes blurry. So that was. That's a fun feature, but at the same time, I think it's pretty impactful.
So powerful. And I love that you've done that. Like it's really powerful. Again, with vision, it's like, everyone's like, oh, maybe. But when you see it, you're like, oh, done. Oh, that's done. Like, yeah. And but then also, again, it's awesome engagement. But equally, I've just got to the end of that, and you've got this video to raise awareness, this pledge. Again, beautiful. Like, I think a DataViz, its main job is to inform, but I also feel its secondary goal is to drive action.
Right.
And that's what you've done here too. Not just, even if they don't see that, all these stats should hopefully, no pun intended, sober some people up to not drink and drive. But also right. that extra narrative with the vision, the blurred vision, is beautiful too. So right. great, great stuff. And I love that I've seen that now. I didn't see that before. That's amazing. It's brilliant. Okay, great. No, this is cool. So, okay, next question is, how did you approach this creation of the biz? Like, did you sketch it out? Did you already have a clear vision? Can you give us a little bit more around your process?
Yeah. So, Sarah Bartlett, probably a lot of people know, had back in early January had announced that she was going to start Iron Quest, which was kind of the I don't know if the best way to put it is kind of practice for IronViz, to get people comfortable about doing IronViz. And she may have gave me a little insight a couple of weeks before she announced it and said, hey, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it on crime. So the drunk driving thing is kind of something I always wanted to do. And so it was kind of a perfect opportunity to get that started. So when I start a viz, I almost never sketch anything. It's writing papers in college, I just started typing. It's the same way with me in data viz. I usually just start working. I usually start work with images first, just to kind of get the general idea what it's going to look like. And I will tell you, I started down a path with this one and it looked awful. It was just terrible. And I farted around with it and spent, I think I probably spent a good solid 3 hours trying to get the design to look good, and it was just terrible. And so I decided to just scrap it completely. I'd seen an infographic that had a similar kind of 3D look to it in the past and had saved it on the phone. And I thought, well, that seems like a perfect opportunity to give this sort of pamphlet look, you know, like you're at a, you know, somewhere where you might grab a pamphlet that talks about drunk driving. So it seemed like a good opportunity to use that. And once I built that in PowerPoint, is just a bunch of different colored squares and triangles. All it really is. And and once I got that, it flowed really, really well. It was a couple, you know, I probably spent 3 hours trying to fix the old design. And once I got that background build, it probably only took about 3 more hours to do the whole viz. It was really, really, it was one of those that just went really perfectly after I started it. Yeah.
No, that's great. And it's, I guess once you've got like the foundation and the layout, you're just filling it with all the data is
right.
Still not easy, but I think, without that solid foundation of design and layout, it's very hard to like organically build stuff. But also I love that you I think this is an important thing for a lot of data viz designers, the ability to kind of walk away or abandon an attempt, because you do invest a lot of time, you get attached, but that's great to hear that someone as good as you is like, first one sucked, let's walk away. Like, let's start again. Like, it's
good. I think I've got 45 or something vizzes on Tableau Public, but I've got about 80. There's probably about 35 of them that are total garbage that are hidden. Oh, wow.
But that's amazing though, because I guess that's how you get better, right? Failure, you see what you don't like, and that can help inform what you do like. So again, that's awesome, but you keep trying. Like, there's no one gets the hole in one straight away, right? Like, I don't either. So
you're absolutely right. That's a great point.
And also you mentioned PowerPoint too, as a like laying out the shapes. And I find that really interesting because often when I teach data visualization, people often assume, oh, I have to know Photoshop or Adobe Illustrator. And I'm like, no, use whatever comes naturally to you. You have an idea. If you can do it in 5 seconds in PowerPoint, use PowerPoint. Don't go have to feel you have to learn another tool or you're a failure. So is that the reason you kind of gravitate to PowerPoint, just because you're familiar and comfortable with it?
Yeah, I think everybody has some familiarity with PowerPoint. And to be honest, you could do so many things in there. I mean, I actually on my blog website, I have a video on how to use PowerPoint to do these types of things. Yeah, I've drawn all kinds of crazy things, and I don't know Photoshop. I don't know any of those other graphic tools, but PowerPoint, you can do a ton of things in it. So yeah, I mean, that whole background's drawn in PowerPoint. And when people go, oh my gosh, how do you do that? Well, it's squares and triangles only.
Yeah.
And with different colors. Yeah. And that's all it is. So I think generally I'm kind of known to be the PowerPoint guy. So I do a lot of things in PowerPoint. I've written several blogs on PowerPoint. I have a whole technique that talks about drawing shapes instead of polygons and using PowerPoint to do it.
Wow.
And so that you can do things without using polygons, because I know they intimidated quite a lot of people. So
me too.
Yeah.
Hands up.
Yeah. Well, use the tool. Right. Yeah. Use the tools that are easy for you. And I remember when I spent 3 hours with Ken the first night I learned Tableau, and he was drawing these cool things. I thought, how do you do that? He goes, PowerPoint. Just use PowerPoint. And I was really, really taken aback by how simple it is.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. And that's an inspiration. It's I feel a lot of people think this is prohibitive. But again, like, even if you just pen and paper is your trade, like, use that, like, whatever's comfortable.
Right.
And yeah,
right.
That's such a great thing to hear. And it's awesome you do that. So thank you for that. Okay, where are we? Next question. So here we go. So I mean, you've thrown around a few stats already about the viz, but what is the, I guess, main insight you've got from this, apart from we just shouldn't drive when drunk? Like,
right. Yeah. I mean, there were a couple stats, and I touched on it earlier, but one of the stats that I saw, I think it was on MAD's website, but it said 2 out of 3 people in the United States will be involved in a drunk driving accident in their lifetime. And I thought, that has got to be embellished in some way.
Yeah.
So I went out to a couple of different websites. I must have found that statistic on a dozen different websites. I just couldn't believe it to be true. 2 out of 3 people. I mean, 2/3 of people are going to be involved in a drunk driving accident in their lifetime.
Wow.
So I just, unbelievable how many people that affects. And so that was really surprising. And then I had a couple friends that would commonly hop in the car after a few drinks. And I used to just tell them, why don't you just get an Uber? You know, get an Uber, get a Lyft. It doesn't cost that much.
Yeah.
So one of the things I wanted to do with this is to hit people with the finances.
Looking at that now, that's very smart.
So not only is it really dangerous and people die, and you know, and I personally know that, is that it's really expensive if you get caught doing it. So so one of the things I looked up was, hey, what's the average cost of a DUI? What's the average cost of an Uber ride? So what I found is the average cost of a DUI is about $9,000 US dollars.
Wow.
I think that we just, and then Uber rides $13.
Yeah,
so do the math. It's 670 plus Uber rides you can take before you pay for a DUI.
That's a no-brainer. Yeah, that's a no-brainer. Wow. that's amazing. And that's such a beautiful way you've like translated it. Not just, you know, sure, there's the, you know, life aspect, but you also compare, you're speaking other people's language. Some people do care about cost and like, oh, that's going to speak to them. Whereas other stuff is like, oh, I don't want to go to prison. Like you've tackled like key talking points to different people, which is brilliant too. It's not just one narrative which people might switch off to. It's, you got something for everyone, which I think is great too, which broadens the appeal and the message. So that's great.
Yeah. One of the things, if you look at the little donut charts that I made into handcuffs, I think it said something like 84% of the states leave this on your record for 6 years, which is that stinks. But there's 5 states in the U.S. that leave it on your record forever. If you get a DUI, you're not going to escape it. So every time you go try to get a job, you're going to have that on your record. So it's a really, you know, scary thing that that it could cost a pile of money. You could certainly have it on your record for the rest of your life. And, you may hurt somebody else or hurt yourself. So.
Yeah. No, that's... Yeah, it's more than just a one-off incident. There's definitely a lot of ramifications, which, again, you draw to light. But also, I like that it's still informative. It's not, what's the word? It's not like nagging. It's a really powerful message in a very sensible way, which I think, because if some people just think they're being nannied or they'll switch off, but here they're like, I don't want my employment record to be tarnished. I don't want to spend $9,000. Like, it's a very sensible approach to like, resonates. So nice work there.
I tried not to make it overly heavy, but impactful. You know, I want it to be fun. I think it has a fun design. You know, it has, like, you know, called the Easter egg. You know, you can go through and see the blurriness, and that's, I think that's fun. But yeah, I think at the end of the day, it's certainly impactful. Somebody sees, hey, it's going to cost me $9,000, or I can take 670 Uber rides to equal that same amount. I think it's the point.
But in an entertaining way.
So hopefully it did that job.
I think it will. Like, it's definitely speaking to me, and hopefully everyone who sees this. So
Thank you.
Okay, so cool. Let's jump into the next question, which is, what skills did you learn from carrying out this project?
Yeah, the interesting thing about that is this is really not complex. If you look at the chart types, there's some bar, there's a couple maps, there's a bar chart, a donut chart, a little scatter plot for the 2 out of 3 people. Nothing complicated in this viz, yet people look at it and go, how the heck did you do it? You know, so skills that I learned, probably not a lot in this particular viz, because I use the tools that I know well. I use PowerPoint to create that background, and used some really simple chart types in Tableau. And I think it's really, I think that new users, including myself, when I start first, I wanted to create all these, you know, radial charts, these complex things. Most of the time you don't need them. I mean, especially, you know, when you do it, you're creating a professional dashboard, a business dashboard. Oh. You almost never need those. But you know, to make a viz look really clean and be very impactful, you don't always need that. So I think this is a perfect example of, it doesn't have to be complex. So skills, I probably didn't learn a heck of a lot of skills in this viz.
That's a skill in itself, knowing when to be complex and when not to be. And I think a skill in itself, simplicity, you know, that Occam's razor, or there's that engineering design quote where you achieve perfection not when there's nothing left to add, but when there's nothing left to take away. And I think that's that. You could apply that here, because you could add so much more, but you don't need to. And I think sometimes it might be at a detriment in this one particularly. So it's really good that you've kept that focus, and you're more than capable of doing that cool technical stuff, but you didn't need to. And I think that's a skill in itself, to know when to rein it back or know when to apply more advanced stuff. So this is great. Yeah. Okay, and we're actually going to see, I did see an awesome, really fun one on your profile, which we're going to look at a little bit later on, which I think does push the technical boundaries a bit. I was trying to figure out how you made it, but we'll come back to that, because that's an awesome one too. So you're always coming up with great vizzes, but can you let us into a sneak peek of maybe what your next project's going to be in this space?
Feels like I've always got like 6 things going on at once. I mean, I am working on a small little viz. It's, you know, it was kind of inspired by an infographic that I wanted to be more interactive. So that involves, beer and wine.
Love it.
Coincidentally, don't drink too much of it, but it involves, how it's paired with food. So we've all seen those kinds of things. So it's using some curves and things to just kind of connect those. So hopefully I have that out in the next couple of weeks. But I've got 4 blog posts ready to go. One I'm super excited about. So hopefully that'll be out in the next couple of weeks. And then we have Iron Viz coming up. So that gets me super excited. I know they announced that for Europe. But I guess next month we'll have that started for the world, and I'm super excited about that. So
amazing. I can't wait to see what you make. It's going to be awesome. And for those of you, I know I keep saying this, but for those of you listening and watching, like, subscribe. All the links will be down below in the video. Like, follow his blog, check out his Twitter, you know, the Tableau public profile, everything down there. Like, it's a great resource to learn and be inspired, so get on it.
Thank you.
Cool. And yeah, speaking of awesome vizzes you made, I just want to share this one I found. It's one where you looked at Super Mario Brothers, the original one. I love that one on the NES or Nintendo Entertainment System. And it's so creative. I guess for those of you who are listening to the audio podcast, it's literally a level from Mario, but like the pipes, bar charts, which give all these interesting stats, the bonus blocks give extra stats. It's hard to describe, but like it's like you're going through a level of Mario, and it's really amazing, because you learn so much about the franchise and the sales stats. And I'm just going to bring it up on screen, because I just realized showing that. But yeah, essentially, it's amazing, guys. You should go check. Well, check them all out, but check this one out. I have got the music off because I think it plays sound, right?
It does, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I've turned it off for this podcast. But would you like to just give us a brief explanation while I go and explore and find some cool stats?
Yeah. When I started using Tableau, well, still for the last 12, 13 months, is when I'm driving in the car, my brain is constantly thinking about cool new ideas. And I just thought one day, hey, Mario Brothers would make a cool viz. There's so many different design elements and things you could use to build charts in that game. If you ever seen Neil Richards' presentation from the Tableau Conference 2018, and I think he's done it a couple of times since, he talks about design-driven data. And the idea is, you know, usually applies more to personal vising than it does to business dashboards. But the idea is you have a design idea and you find data to kind of go along with it. So I do that all the time in personal work. And for this, no different for this one. I thought Mario would be a really cool looking viz. And I started to kind of design what that might look like. And then I found some data that kind of told the story. So generally, the viz is about a comparison of Super Mario Brothers 1, 2, and 3. Mm-hmm. And it kind of just walks through different statistics of how far people got in the game, how popular the game was, the sales, and it uses aspects of Super Mario to do that. So I think you mentioned the pipes.
Yeah.
Or just bar charts, but they got a little shape, a little dual axis shape to kind of show that. And as you hit the, I don't know what they're called, bonus boxes or little question mark boxes, it changes from Super Mario 1 to Super Mario 2, Super Mario 3, and plays the music and changes the character while you're at it.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Like, because anyone who's familiar with the franchise, that they're going to love that, like myself, and it's just going to encourage that engagement. So, and also the nostalgia hearing the music.
The nostalgia. I remember Ben Jones commented on that. I'm like, oh, well, first off, getting comments from Ben Jones is always good. Yeah. But he's just talked about it, bringing him back to being a kid. And that's what it did for me too. Yeah.
That's awesome. And just for those of you watching, I'm not clicking on anything because we just found out it plays the music and that's normally great, but not when you're doing a podcast. So so I highly encourage you guys to go click around because it is it's a pleasure to explore.
And one of the things, you know, we talked about with the drunk driving, what'd you learn from it? One of the really interesting things, if you read through that viz, is Super Mario 2 wasn't intended to be Super Mario in the first place.
Yes.
It was built as a completely different game, but Super Mario 1 was so successful, they basically just rebranded it, changed the characters. And that's why it's so different than the other ones. It has a really different feel than the others.
I think it's called, was it Doki Doki Panic or
something like that?
It's brilliant because it does feel very odd as a Mario game, but it's
very weird,
canon now. That's a great fact because a lot of people wouldn't know that, and that's great. Yeah. But also, I have actually seen as a little Easter egg you're prompting clicking on the castle door. I'm going to be brave enough and click on it. If it plays more sound, we'll see what happens. But let's see where we go. Let's get a. Oh, I see. It does a conclusion. That's brilliant.
Yeah, so it gives you a conclusion, and I think gives you the sources and things, just like hitting a little info icon, nothing
genius.
Special. So,
but no, that's still great, though, because, again, it's like the end of a journey, you finish it off, it's a natural flow to see the sources and a conclusion.
Right.
So it's just amazing. I love the way it's all just very natural. And, yeah, this is so cool. I'm very inspired. I want to, see if I can make something similar, maybe if, like, I was a Genesis or Mega Drive kid, so I was more of a Sonic kid growing up. So
I've had that suggestion several times to replicate this with Sonic. So
you should, man.
Maybe on the road.
Okay. I'll you get it. Yeah, that's awesome. Brilliant. Okay, cool. So great visits. I'm just gonna go back to the gallery very quickly. Again, there's so many here, so much breadth and depth, and people are gonna learn so much just by following and looking at them all. I guess in combination with your blog posts and everything like that. So. Mm-hmm. Get on it, guys. This is great. But we're going to move into a different, we're going to change gears a little bit. And we're going to just wrap up here, just asking you, like, what if you've got anything you'd like to promote. And then we're going to get into some rapid fire questions. Just because we've got to know the visitors a lot more. But I'd love for the audience to get to know you a little bit more, too. So, so before we go on, what's, do you have anything you'd like to promote?
My website, sure, kevinflurlage.com. I've only had it for 5 months now. And I don't know what a lot of views are. I know my brother has 2 million views on his. I have 100,000 on mine. So, but it's great, growing in popularity. Mm. Wow. So yeah, kevinflorledge.com. I've probably got 25 blog posts in that 5 month period. So, I'm staying active for sure. And like I said, I've got 4 of them ready to go. So, and then, you know, my Tableau Public page, that's the most fun part, I think. It's fun. You know, I do this for a living, but also it's, you know, I've never got tired of doing it in my personal life. So,
That's it. Beautiful. Yeah. If you're having fun whilst learning and doing stuff, it's absolutely, not really, yeah, it's fine doing any personal time too, because it's you're winning, learning, growing, having fun. So yeah. Also, I think it's up on the screen. It'll be down below. We were just chatting offline before, and we both, Kevin and I, have like a little bit of a penchant for making silly videos too. So I think your Vimeo, I mean, you use Vimeo to like communicate serious stuff like tablet conferences, but you've also got some fun, creative, funny videos up there too. So yeah, that's great. You've been creative in other ways, not just with visits. They genuinely made
my
me laugh.
My production quality is not nearly yours, but it was taken on less like a, you know, camera, sometimes even using a cell phone, but lots of fun. That used to be probably my main hobby, is creating these silly videos. I've got dozens more that just I haven't ever put up there, but and then the Home Alone one, that was a that was a big hit. it was April when I did that. And I had to work, and my family went to spring break. They went down to Florida. I just couldn't go. I had some things going on at work. And so I was home alone, and I decided to make a little video about it. So
that's beautiful.
Put it up on Facebook, and my Facebook blew up that day. So
that's awesome. That's so sweet. It's like, but it is funny, like some of the more silly things you'll do when the family's not here. Like I can kind of relate like that. My data viz when I ate 190 different combinations of food happened when the wife was on a business trip. That would have never have flown. But I guess you have those little releases, and it's like, you know, it's good though. It's
I understand.
Yeah, it's got to be done. And but no, that's awesome. I hope to hopefully we see more up there and stuff. Whatever, if we get time.
Yeah.
So yeah. Okay, great. So we're gonna jump into where are we? Rapid fire questions now. So. We got like 50 more minutes, so yeah, take as long or as little as you like on each one. Okay. It's up to you, but we've got a few, so hopefully we can get through them. So so the first one is who or what publications for DataViz do you follow regularly?
I would say mainly blog posts and podcasts. So I read I try to read as many blog posts as I can, lots of those. Ken has a great website, tons of content.
Totally.
Jeff Schaefer, I work for Jeff, but his blog site is fantastic. Tons of great material. Yep. Ryan Sleeper, he has tons of stuff. So I'm subscribed to dozens and dozens of these things and just try and read as much as I can. Andy Kriebel's been just crushing it with some really cool tips lately.
So
I read a lot of that, and then I listen to every podcast that I can. So we can add yours to the list now, right?
Thank you. Yeah.
but Ann Jackson and Luke Stanky have the hashtag analytics, and Matt and Emily have the Tableau Wannabe. We've got Storytelling with Data with Colin Affleck. So there's a bunch of them that I try to listen to try and keep a pulse on the community. But generally, I spend a lot of time just following people on Twitter, checking the activity feed on Tableau Public. I think people underestimate how powerful that is to be inspired, but also to go, oh, wow, I never even knew that was a chart type, that I can really apply that to this type of viz. So it's really a great source of learning, great source of inspiration. So it is the first thing I tell new people getting involved in Tableau is get involved with the community, get on Twitter, follow people on Tableau Public, because you can't beat that type of learning. It's totally different than any other. Just reading a blog post doesn't do the same type of thing as it does.
I agree, and that's definitely something I recommend too, and those are all solid, top-notch recommendations. I think also yeah, there's the blog post, but there's the people behind it who are willing to help share and support.
Right.
I think it's, I haven't seen it on any other software package like
Agreed.
In the database space. So yeah. So I guess, yeah, follow Kevin on Twitter, see who he's following and just get involved. You'll definitely benefit from all that. Okay, great. And I often find this question, it's maybe a bit mean because there are so many great resources out there. It is hard to like ask you to pick a few. So I appreciate you doing that, but I'm sure
I could list dozens upon dozens upon dozens. So,
but I might change the question moving forward, but this is great. It's the power of the community and how inspiring it is, but there's so many people. Whereas again, with other ones, you'd be like, oh, I don't know. Whereas here it's like this person, this. Yeah. So good. Okay, great. What have we got now? So I've said 1 to 3, but I guess let's keep it short. What would be your number one Tableau trick for Tableau newbies?
Think probably because I'm still fairly new, is I always try to make difficult things simple. And I think that's, if you go to my website and you read the no polygon technique that I talked about, it makes, you don't have to use polygons. You can use shapes, what people are all familiar with. So that's kind of been my niche, if that makes sense. But so probably the major one, actually you'll be presenting at the Cincinnati Tug on this tomorrow night, is dashboard navigation buttons. I think people think dashboard navigation buttons are nothing more than navigating from one dashboard to another, but you can do a lot of cool tricks using dashboard navigation buttons if you duplicate a dashboard. I would never recommend duplicating sheets, but if you duplicate a dashboard, it's pretty quick. So one example of that is, and I know Tableau's coming out with this in a future version, but example of that is a collapsible menus. So do collapsible menus, if you think about it, really easily with duplicate dashboards and a dashboard navigation button. And I know Robert Rouse had written about how you could do that with all kinds of containers, which it's challenging. He'd even admitted it's a challenging thing to do. It's challenging to maintain. So that's probably my number one trick. Dashboard navigation buttons can allow you to do all kinds of cool things. Yeah.
Oh, amazing. Okay, that's great to hear. And would that talk be available online after you presented it?
I don't believe they're recording that one. I do have, I think I put it out the end of last year. There's on my site, there is a blog post called The Power of Dashboard Navigation Buttons. And it talks about all the different variety of things you can do to just using a duplicate dashboard and a button. So it makes a lot of things really, really easy.
Amazing. Okay. I'm going to go find that and I'll put that in the link description below too.
Great.
So yeah, that's
great.
Cool. Okay. Awesome. Okay. We're making good time. Okay. So next question is, what's your favorite chart type?
So I watched your podcast with Kasha. Is it Kasha?
Kasha. Yes, it is. Yeah.
It was fantastic, by the way. And that viz that you guys talked about, just absolutely mind blowing. So the garbage in the sea, unbelievable. But anyway, she answered this question with scatterplot. And I think she answered it maybe for a little bit different reasons than I do. I like a scatter plot because using a scatter plot, if you have XY coordinates, you can draw anything. And Ken talks about this in his presentation at Tableau Conference, him and Matt Chambers did together. And he shows on screen, just showing, bringing points up, and they're different colors and different sizes. And once they all kind of come up there, he's got a picture of Starry Night, and it's just a scatter plot of different points. So with a scatter plot, you can draw just about anything if you have the XY coordinates. So for me, absolutely, I use it all the time for things that a scatter plot aren't really intended for. You know, like Candyland Viz I did for Iron Viz last year.
Yeah,
showed something about McDonald's, and I used a scatter plot to draw the McDonald's emblem, and it had data embedded within there. So
amazing.
Definitely scatter plot because you can do so many different things with it. Yeah.
Cool. Yep. That's okay. I'm gonna have to keep a tab, see which one is the most popular as we go through the podcast. So it's two for nothing.
Scatter plot now.
It's in the lead. It's in the lead. Strong command. Waiting for someone to say pie chart. I mean, I will. There's a place for that, but I think that's a whole nother discussion. I think,
I use the pie chart in the, well, it's a donut chart, a version of a pie chart in the drunk driving biz. So, I mean, if you're going to draw handcuffs, how else are you going to do it?
Totally. It's, they get a bad rep. I mean, look, they're not perfect, but I think there is a place for them, but it's just when. But yeah, it's
Agreed. Totally agree.
very, cool. Okay, that's good. That's awesome. Okay, so, I guess we've already touched upon this, but let's go a little bit further. So, other than Tableau, what other tools or software have you been using? So, you already mentioned PowerPoint, but is there anything else you use?
Yeah, I mean, I spend so I do as of October 1st, I've been doing so before October, I was doing this all on the side, so I wasn't doing it for a living. Like I've mentioned before, I'm working for Jeff Schaefer now and doing it full time. So I spend most of my time in Tableau and use PowerPoint and those types of things to draw icons or images or things that I need. I obviously do that probably, I do that more in my personal visiting than I do for work stuff. But at work, I use SQL. I'm not fantastic at it. Still fairly new to SQL. I still have some experience with Alteryx. So those are the main tools: Tableau, SQL, PowerPoint, a
Cool.
little bit of Alteryx. But generally, I'd probably say about 80% of my time spent in Tableau, which is
No,
fantastic.
it makes sense. Like all the others, I mean, to me, like more means to an end to get the data in. That's when you can go explore intuitively.
Right, exactly.
But again, if someone's out there who's a SQL whiz and can do it quicker in SQL and analyze data, go do that. But yeah, I
Right,
just find tablets so
one
much
of the guys
easier.
here is I'm sorry to interrupt you. One of the guys here is a SQL whiz, and he does so much to prep the data beforehand. And I'm really just average at SQL, so I will tend to just get the data in as quickly as I can and do all the calculations and things and prep within Tableau because that's where I'm more comfortable. But I will tell you, spending 80% of my day in Tableau is sometimes I look down at the clock and go, oh my gosh, it's 5 o'clock already. Where did this day go?
There could be
It's
worse days.
inspiring to enjoy it that much. Yeah.
No, that's amazing. It's what is it? You find a job you love doing, you never work a day in your life, right?
Right.
So
You're exactly right. You're
that's
exactly right.
brilliant. That's a good quote. Okay, cool. So what do we got now? So, here's the thing. So this is really interesting. So you said you're about a year in. What was your first version of Tableau?
So I had to go look that up. I was thinking it was 10.5 or something like that. No, I think it was 2018.1. So it's not.
Oh my God, you had it even before they did all the numbered versions. You started with a year, but
I didn't even get. Yeah,
so
I didn't even get
jealous.
numbered one. So I think that's what it was. I started in late February 2018. So just over a year right now. So. Yeah, I think it was 2018.1. So things, I mean, they've added a lot of features since then, but generally it's the same software. You hear these people that have been using it for 7 and 8 years and started on version three. That's, not me.
I started on six, and all this stuff they do is amazing. But I think it's just a great testament to see they're still committed, right? They're here listening to the users, they're understanding the needs, and they just keep pushing stuff out. Like it's pretty cool because again,
Right.
you get excited with it, but then you're also like, what are you going to do next? What's going to come? Like it's
Right. I mean, just look at what they've come out in the last couple of months. I mean, right after the conference where they came out with 2018.3 and had just feature after feature after feature, including dashboard navigation buttons, but set actions and transparent sheets and the
Heat
density
map.
marks.
That's it. Density marks.
And just all kinds of really cool stuff in just one version. And the most recent one came out with some really cool stuff. And then I know what's in beta right now. Has some really cool things like collapsible menus. They continue to improve the tool, but generally the tool, the basics of the tool were the same for me as when I started than they are now. You just got some really cool new features. A lot different when we did Tableau conference back in October. Jeff had asked me, hey, would you compete in a tip battle? Which I did. Like a tournament style going up against some really great people. I ended up making it to the finals, which is cool. But
Oh, no way.
one of the rounds we had to do tips in different versions. So there were
Ooh,
people
that'd be
doing
tricky,
tips in version seven, and it looked like a totally different piece of software than it
it's
is
come a
now.
long way.
I was lucky enough to do it in version nine.
That's good because it's even like level of detail. That was I mean, scale of things, it's relatively new. Like, I still remember the day when that wasn't possible, and you had to either couldn't do things or you had to do crazy hacks, and it's just
how do people do it without level of detail calculating? I have no idea.
it was very hard.
Woman, every viz I built,
those were dark times. So I'm glad they shone a light on that one. So yeah, awesome, man. That's great, and it's that's beautiful. And I just want to keep reminding everyone, like, look at what Kevin's done in a year. Like, that is amazing. So, like, if you guys apply yourself and just, you know, keep pushing yourself, keep try, like he said to, like, maybe make a few mistakes, learn along the way, you're just going to keep getting better and better. So this, just even in itself, I'm just going to cut back to it, just looking at your gallery, it's just such an inspiration, because I wish I was making this kind of quality at, like, the 1 year mark. So that just came into my head. Thank I just you. Wanted to remind people that. But, this is amazing. So I think that leads me on to one final question. We're kind of on good time here. If you could have Tableau implement any feature, what would you like them to see implemented?
I tend to keep, there's a lot of complex things that people are asking for. I tend to keep mine pretty simple. Mm-hmm. I'll give you two. I know you said one. I'm going to give you two.
Two's good.
Everybody brings it up. I'd like to see more fonts. I'd like to be able to use any font that you want. You know, if you look a lot of my vizs, the very top title is an image because it's not supported by Tableau. And I'm generally, I think that may be more of a request for people that like to do this on the side, but it would be nice to be able to use any kind of font, even for your business dashboards, and have it render it properly on any web browser. So some additional fonts. I think there's only maybe 13 or so, something like that now that you can use. Very simple. I just want a remove all grid lines button, just a checkbox to remove every grid line.
Yes, that's amazing.
Going, click, 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 click. I just one little check, just get rid of them, because I almost never use them. I think that's pretty common in the data viz industry. Get rid of grid lines. So if there's an option just to cleanly get rid of them quickly, it'd be really nice.
That's amazing. If that doesn't exist already, we're totally making a Tableau feature recommendation. I'll get people to upvote that. That's genius. That's such a simple thing. Like, wow, I love it. This is great.
And maybe it saves me 10 seconds every viz, but it sure would be nice.
That adds up. Like, just 10 seconds of every analyst day once a week. That's going to be so many man hours, or like people's lives Tableau's going to give back, like unhiding it. So it's small, but it'll add up. So I can already see myself benefiting from that, because I remove a lot of the grid lines too. So amazing. Okay, let's make that a thing. Let's make it happen.
I agree. Let's make it happen.
Excellent. Okay, cool. So I think we've reached the end of our time. So again, thank you for your time chatting to us today. Again, true inspiration. Again, appreciate you taking us through your couple of your vizs, your process, and just us getting to know a little bit more about you, which hopefully inspires others to get on board and get used to Tableau. So before we head off, do you have any final words or things you want to say to the viewers?
Yeah, I think we touched on it earlier, but I would say for any of those folks that are not involved in the Tableau community, if they're not on Twitter, if they're not on LinkedIn, they're not following people on Tableau Public, I'd really, really recommend it, because it will increase the speed of your learning exponentially. So if you're not already doing that, I'd greatly recommend that. It's been very impactful. I've been lucky. You know, I have a Zen Master brother and a Zen Master boss. I mean, I'm really, really lucky and in a great position.
No pressure. They're like, hey,
but,
man.
If you want to really increase your learning, get involved with folks. Get involved with folks. Because I think the really cool thing about this community, and you touched on it earlier, is most people are really, really willing to help. So I may have access to two Zens if I have a problem, but everybody out there does too. Everybody else out there, if you messaged any one of those guys, they're almost always willing to help. So,
totally.
And you know that personally, I'm sure. I'm sure a lot of people reach out to you and
do what I can.
So get involved. That's the main thing. It's I think oftentimes people want to spend so much time learning and reading blog posts and watching videos. There's a lot of learning that is not had through those avenues, of just being involved in community and talking with others.
Wow, amazing, very wise. So take that to heart. Listen, guys, go do it. That's how I learned too. So yeah, this is amazing. Okay, so yeah, thank you very much, Kevin. And yeah, keep in touch. I'll be tracking all your stuff. So all the best, and thanks for your
Thank
time.
you. Thanks for having me, Dave. Appreciate it.
Cool. Thank you.